Welcome back, everybody, and we always like to have you guys check us out on Facebook and where, Don?
On thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Lots of cool stuff there, lots of links, and of course, the interactive map wherever you are in the United States or wherever you want to be. It is wherever you want to be, and you can check out any of the seasons, any of the fishing, hunting, or otherwise activities with the local DNR website. So, pretty cool deal. Speaking of pretty cool, I was able to visit with this gentleman, longtime friend of mine. We actually just figured it out. We've been friends for over 30 years, which is kind of funny. But when we think about it, the now GM, general manager of Lutz and Skeery up in northern Minnesota, Mr. Jim Vick. Jim, good to have you with us.
Hi there.
So in our, shall we say, very varied conversation that we had concerning everything under the sun, you know, always been a curiosity when you're looking at how many people are going skiing. And of course, when you look around the Twin Cities, Don, I don't know if you've been out to the local areas, you know, Welch or otherwise. I mean, you get out there on a Saturday, my first thing is, don't you people have jobs? I mean, it's just crazy, the number of people that are skiing. And you know, you're obviously in a destination situation, Jim. How's all the pandemic affected you guys? What's been the take on that?
Well, skiing was in an unusual spot during the pandemic. I mean, you know, it hit everybody, I think, hard in some way or another. I mean, things were changing constantly. The rules were changing. You know, no one knew where we were headed. But as the dust started to settle, and especially last winter, being outdoors was one of the few things that was the open thing, and skiing was still social. It's a very social sport. You do it with friends, you're out in the hill, you're sharing the experience. And so that combination of being able to do something with people you like to hang out with and still feel safe and secure because you're outdoors and such just became a thing. And so skiing overall, I think across the country, did remarkably well. And then you add in a destination like Lutzen, where it's an easy drive, so you're not, you know, in airports or mass transit or any of that. You're in your little family pod in your car. You drive up. You stay at your condo. You can unload directly into your room. You can eat your meals there. We had our best year ever for attendance because of that. And
People feel comfortable wearing a mask when you're skiing. It's not like
mask enforcement was easy because it's winter and you're outside and a mask is fine. And so it went over well. We had the first part of winter where there was actually a, you know, if we can remember all the way back to then, that we, you know, no one was allowed inside. I mean, we could have a restroom open, but we couldn't have chalets open as warming spaces. And the thought of, you know, how do you operate a ski area without a place to warm up? But again, partly because we had, you know, slopeside lodging so people could just go back to their room, their own private chalet.
It kept everybody separated, and there was...
But otherwise, I mean, folks were just so glad that they could do something that they came in and prepared with, you know, a grill to tailgate from, and they would sit in their car and just warm up a little bit, and... I was shocked at how well it went and how well the guests responded to whatever changes needed to be made. They were willing to do it because it allowed them to do something that was both active and social.
Well, how did, and we talked a little bit about Canada, you know, how did that affect, you know, people couldn't come across the border. I mean, has that come back now, if you're looking at the transition?
Yeah, that was a little tougher. So the border was closed all of last winter.
Because you get a lot of people, right? What is it, about 15 or 20% of your population is Canadians?
It's about 8% of our overall visits, a much bigger chunk of my season pass visits, because we get a number of Thunder Bay regulars that come down frequently.
Yep.
And so they were completely out last year. This year, the border made some announcements that it was going to be open, but then had a testing requirement that was just too hard to get. We didn't have the services in Cook County, because we're such a small community, to provide the tests, and they were expensive. It was a PCR test that they required until just recently.
Don, you know about that.
And
I
so,
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the reality to it is, you know, that business just still hasn't recovered yet. Now, as of April 1st, that changes, and the Canadian border going back across, which is where the delay has been, they are now removing their testing requirements. So I expect our final couple weeks here to see a number of our Canadian visitors who have just been, you know,
chomping at the
still
bit,
wanting to come down.
Yeah.
We post on social media, and every post we do, we get the mournful, you know, reply of they just want to come down so badly. And so I think we will be reunited here shortly.
You see the pouty lips coming out like, meh, I want to go. I can't go.
Yeah, so they're quite looking forward to it.
Another topic we talked about a little bit, just give us a brief update. How's the expansion scenario going, or is it pushing along ploddingly slow, or are we moving along at a better pace?
The expansion is moving along. It's been a long process, and partly because it's been such a thorough process. So we are asking to expand onto some Forest Service land adjacent to the ski area. It's common out west. It's maybe a first for the Midwest. So part of it is just that it's new here.
Yep.
And
big,
and
too.
There was study. They didn't go into it lightly. They did a full-on environmental impact statement, and that was a 320-page report with all the graphs and all the numbers and really years' worth of study. That was published and presented last fall and then was open for public comment. When they were working on it, it just felt like it was overkill for a few runs, and you know, I mean, there's not a lot of physical activity that happens out there. But as they were responding to people's questions and concerns, the report remarkably addresses so much of that.
Yep.
And so the Forest Service, during their presentation, would answer these questions with not guesses, but actually pretty significant data that they had researched. And so that went well, but they are now in the process of evaluating that. I don't know, there was over 500 comments and people, you know, both all about it. They see the vision of it and they see what it can do for our community. Folks who have hesitation and, you know, really don't want to see anything else change. And so a mix of comments, and then they reply to all of those. And as a result, it still is in that stage right now.
So it's looking at 400 or 500 acres, I think is what it was.
How many additional runs would you end up with if all goes well?
Oh, I forget the run count exactly, but Eric is correct. It's about 500 acres in two different segments. One expands a little bit on Eagle Mountain, and then the bulk of it is an expansion over on Moose Mountain. It nearly doubles our terrain on Moose Mountain, so okay. It's a fairly significant addition of additional runs. Again, intended as a, you know, multi-decade expansion plan. So that, you know, it starts and it just grows organically as we're able to, you know, find the capital to do it. But it would allow the ski area to grow for our next generation.
So before we wrap up, we have two things. One is we want a brief comment on the fishing. We talked a little bit about lake trout, and you said it was absolutely outstanding. Is it still good?
Well, so lake trout, you know, is in these summer and last fall in particular was just sensational. Right now there's very few folks out. I'm not sure even if the season is open out there.
Yep.
Steelhead will be gathering up in front of the rivers here soon. I think there's maybe a little bit of activity a week or so ago when we had some meltwater going on. It's been colder since then. We're still kind of in winter conditions right now.
You guys getting snow right now?
We got a couple inches yesterday, so yeah, and 8 inches the week before, and 8 inches the week before that. So we're rolling into April with kind of midwinter conditions. Everything's open, a new coat of snow. It's pretty prime.
How late do you guys plan on being open? I heard you're open. You can plan on being open until May 1st.
We are daily through April 10th. It's another 10 days or something.
Okay.
And then weekends through till May 1st.
Nice. Nice. Very cool. And the big wrap up, I'll be up there in not this weekend, but the following weekend. And that's the big meltdown, big party going on. Lots of stuff happening.
Yeah, meltdown. We had to take, again, a hiatus for a couple of years, but our goal is, weather permitting, we have an outdoor music show. So six bands over a couple of days and just celebrate the season and what it's been. We've been fortunate over the years to have some glorious, you know, sunny spring days.
Yep.
And some live music and some camaraderie. It's a fun event.
It'll be a little fun. And, of course, you can check it out on our website. The link we'll have on thevalleyoutdoors.com. It'll take you right up there. Just jump on The Valley Outdoors, and it'll be right there. Jim, can't thank you enough. It's always a good time to have you on. We'll be seeing you in about a week and a half here, or just over a week, and it'll be good. Enjoy it. Thanks for taking
Great.
The time.
Well, thanks for checking in with us.
And stay warm up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, the spring is coming. We'll get those sunny days.
Sounds good, buddy. We'll talk soon, and we'll be back with more Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Always good to talk to Jim, Don.
Yes.
Pretty neat guy.
I've known Jim for probably 16, 18 years.
You know, it's funny, when we were talking, having a beer up at Lutzen last week, we were talking fishing for almost an hour plus, and he is a diehard walleye guy.
Really?
Oh, he goes out. He'll go out in his canoe out in a lake, and he is disappointed. He's like, there's somebody on the lake. Don't you have somewhere to go? He gets pretty excited about that. But, yeah, he's big on the walleye, and his wife really enjoys fishing too. So,
are there a lot of walleye lakes in that area?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Really?
Big time, yep. And, you know, you can catch them on jigs. You can catch them. They've been doing a lot on crankbaits, ripping wraps, and that's been pretty...
You're not talking the boundary waters.
Shad wraps. No. Shad wraps, I guess, primarily, but I'm going to introduce them to some ripping wraps when I go up next weekend and see if they can get them to snap on those. So,
okay. But
always fun to see that. So, speaking of walleye, Don.
Yes.
The latest... Drum roll, please. The latest limits for Lake Mille Lacs have been released. If you lived under a rock or hadn't heard.
Keep in mind, Mille Lacs, if you don't know, is probably the biggest walleye fishery in Minnesota. It's the largest
naturally fishery. Reproducing fishery. Yep. It's one of the biggest that's out there.
Yep.
We call it the bowl on the hill, is really what it is. The just released Lake Mille Lacs open water anglers will be allowed to harvest one walleye measuring 21 to 23 inches or one longer than 28 from Saturday, May 14th through Monday, May 30th. After a summer of catch and release fishing with an early July closure, reduce hooking mortality, the one fish limits expected to return on September 1. So it goes through the 30th, have one, summer is going to be catch and release, and then it goes back to one in. Two recent year classes have showed below average numbers of walleye, which means the need to factor in that fewer fish than normal will mature into spawning adults during the next few years.
You know, one of the things, I think a factor there is a fact for the last 2 years, people couldn't get past the northern border. So the lakes in our area anyway were, the pressure on them, a lot more anglers were on the water.
Yeah, and a lot of too comes with the spawning rate, if they see some different spawning rates.
Yep.
So then while the walleye drop catch rates for 2018, Your classes aren't as dramatic as previous levels. The closed walleye harvest on Mille Lacs, they do signal that more conservative walleye harvest regulations may be needed in coming years. I don't know how you can be more conservative than one. It doesn't get any more conservative. After the opening weekend, which fishing is allowed 24 hours a day on the opening weekend, so people be comfortable with that. Fishing hours on Mille Lacs will be 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for everything, all species, beginning Saturday, June 4th. Muskie, northern pike anglers using artificial lures or sucker minnows longer than 8 will be allowed to fish after 10 p.m. And then walleye catch and release will be June 1 through Thursday, June 30th. Then it'll be a stop for 2 weeks. That's the hottest of the temperatures of the summer, generally speaking.
Right.
And then it will be reduced for hook and line mortality. And then it'll be back open from Friday, July 1st through the 15th. Catch and release walleye will resume 16th through Wednesday, August 31st. And then it'll go back to having a limit of one. So. But yeah, it's a sad deal when it has to get to that. But what do you do? So let's end with a good story, Don.
All right.
I like a good story. The 2022 Nest Predator Bounty Program opens for all South Dakota residents. You pulled this off of somewhere. I don't know where you got that, but it's a good story.
It came from the Department of Natural Resources, Fish and Game from South Dakota.
Pier, South Dakota, the South Dakota Game, Fish and Parks, GFP, reminds people that the program for Nest Predator Bounty opens for residents April 1st, began in 2019, part of Governor Noem's Second Century Initiative. It is open for any youth under the age of 18. On March 1st, to date, 1,447 tails have been submitted, and this allows tails from raccoon, striped skunk, badger, red fox, and opossum eligible for $10 apiece, Don, with a maximum total payout of $500,000 for the program. It runs until July 1, until the maximum total payout is reached. Either one, they're going to run it until then. And the maximum for a kid,
$500.
We're joking off air. Don, as a kid, never would have done anything except hunt every single day after class until he's dark.
Well, you talk about a fun part-time job.
Well,
I mean, they used to pay you 10 cents for a tail for a chipmunk or something, but $10 a tail?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So a lot of fun with that program. I congratulate those guys in the South Dakota area. Christy Noem, what an amazing governor out there. So, hey, speaking of amazing, we had an amazing show today. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. Don, Ava, for myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors, and we love having you with us. Check us out next week. See ya.